I tell people who are getting into healthcare on the business side or technology side, say, be careful because you'll never leave. There's so many great roles in technology outside of healthcare. But once you have used technology to help people, it's hard to pick anything that then does not do that and do that as your, you know, even to make a living, independent of how much money it makes, right? There is that, especially I feel like I'll age myself, but as we get older, we're looking for something also that we're really giving back. And there's only so many hours in a day. So if you can do that as a core part of what you do every day, and go back to, that's a gift.
Welcome back to a fireside chat with Chilmark Research, looking at healthcare IT with a lens to the future.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Chilmark Research channel. Today, we are broadcasting from the Health 2021 conference, and I'm sitting with Shiza Hussain from Bioformis. So, Shiza, can you tell us a little bit more about what you do at Bioformis?
Sure. So Bioformis, what I do is I'm their chief commercial officer, which simply put, the way I like to describe it is I work with providers, with physicians, with hospital groups and pharma companies to make sure that they know what we can do from a virtual care perspective and that they choose us. And a lot of what I'm involved in is also working with other partners across the industry, other companies where we can come together and really provide a great value proposition to our customers, as well as then, of course, providing input into our product roadmap, really looking at the market, talking to customers, and making sure that we're feeding that back into our product team to enhance our solutions.
And can you tell me a little bit more about what your unique or specific offering is in this broad space of virtual care?
So what Bioformis does, and it's a great question that you asked about exactly what it is in this broad industry, because the definitions for remote patient monitoring, hospital at home, all these areas are still in formation. So what we, the core of what we do is we have an analytics engine that's FDA cleared, and simply put, it does three things. What we do is three things. We capture a baseline on each patient. So your baseline is different from my baseline. Then we adjust that baseline as our powerful machine learning algorithm learns each patient. And then we notify when there's deviations from that baseline that are significant, right? When there's a risk that something's going to happen to you. But the beauty of it is that we have the analytics engine. We have the applications, meaning a clinician dashboard and the patient app. We can provide the sensors as well, right, that provide that continuous data that feeds the engine. And we have all the services and support to stand up a solution. We have licensed clinical care teams, logistical support teams. So what's unique about us is that whether it's for hospital at home, remote patient monitoring, or specialty care, we have a platform that does all of it and all of the inputs and the support and services to stand up a complete solution.
Okay. That sounds very powerful and very relevant to the kind of the context of the health system that we're operating in today, especially following the pandemic and all the shift from in, you know, the traditional in the four walls of a care setting and moving that, as you're talking about, to the home. So is there a specific niche within this kind of remote monitoring and remote care that you're operating under? Are you going after a specific disease area first, like cardiac or diabetes or, you know, one of those big common ones? Or are you trying to be more broad and just, you know, if there's a sensor for it, you want to be serving that?
It's a great question. So the way that we talk about our business is in three areas. Two of them are more disease agnostic. So hospital at home, think about the patient who should be admitted to the hospital, and they are for all intents and purposes, but they shouldn't be in a physical bed. We should be saving those beds for patients who need them most, right? That patient gets to go home, and it could be any number of disease areas, but they are still in the hospital, still seen by a clinician or physician every day. They're the hospital home platform. So it could be any number of diseases. Remote patient monitoring, so think about 30 days up to 90 days of monitoring. You're trying to prevent those readmissions and from a patient perspective, keep them safe, right, and cared for in their home. Again, disease agnostic, there's many different areas that we could use the platform for. In both of those, we have care paths that we provide for heart failure, COPD, et cetera, but they're very disease agnostic. But to answer your question, we also have specialty care, and we recently received FDA breakthrough device designation for our heart failure therapy solution.
Congratulations.
And thank you. Appreciate it. We're very proud of it. And so heart failure is where we're starting.
Okay.
But as an example, in that area, think about the patient who's living with a chronic disease. So I was used, and he's fine with me using it. And my dad, as an example, as a heart failure patient, okay, he is, you know, chronically ill, but most of the time he's fine. But he, if he was monitored continuously, we could make sure that he was on the optimal dosage of the optimal medication, which if you talk to cardiologists, 1% of patients are optimized today. Because you see them a couple of times a year, right?
Yeah.
And you know, you want them on what they say is guideline-directed medical therapy, GDMT. And so we can help with that. And so we have licensed clinicians, we have physicians who can help co-manage patients, heart failure patients. And then, in my dad's example, I don't end up in an ED because he's having chest pain, because well before that, there's signals that they're seeing. We have a BioVitals index that signals, you know, can catch arrhythmias, can up to 20 arrhythmias, and many other things that he looks at to get him on the right dosage of the right medication at given time. We're looking at other care areas as well, but heart failure is the first one that we have stepped into with our breakthrough device designation. But there's many others that are on our roadmap with a lot of care needed. Heart failure is a hot one right now.
I mean, that's actually very relevant to my own family history because mm-hmm. my grandmother had heart failure. She had, I can never remember if it was scarlet fever or whooping cough, but something that caused a heart problem when she yep. was really young. And she just never fully recovered from that. So as she got older, it became more of an issue. And she definitely had CHF. And she had a home nurse. And, mm-hmm. you know, they were just doing the daily kind of check-in. But having right. a continuous monitoring tool would have been really helpful, I think. And, you know, would have been able to preempt certain issues. So when we're looking at what's happening in the big space of healthcare right now, and all industries, AI is starting to become more prevalent mm-hmm. because we actually have the computing power to start doing mm-hmm. proper machine learning and all that fun stuff. But one of the big issues that we're seeing, especially with all the racial issues or all the, I guess, race data that's been incorporated into these training sets that may not actually be relevant to the outcomes. I mean, how are you guys navigating the trust and the reliability of the AI and the machine learning that you're providing to your clients? And how do you actually get the buy-in from the end user that they can rely on that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And honestly, I think everyone in the industry is trying to level up. And the more data that we have, as we get more data, we only get better at that. So the analytics engine is really powerful. We do have close to 40 data scientists in our company of almost 400. So there's a big focus on continuum. I mean, 10% of our company being data scientists is pretty powerful. And it's because yeah. we grew up in that. And that's why I started there when I was describing the company, because uh-huh. that is core to what we do. Now, we do a couple of things. When we are establishing a baseline for a patient, we are using some population health data that we have access to. Because in those first few hours, I don't know you, I, the analytics engine, don't know you as well as I know maybe the general population. Other people suffering from the same disease that you have or other people with your demographics. But as it learns you, it becomes more personalized to you. Now, in terms of how do we get race equity, equity across geographic areas, honestly, it's about building our data because when we work with hospital systems, you know, healthcare systems, we still have access to all of that data and we use it to make our algorithms more intelligent. One, automatically, right, because of how it's built. But number two, because our data scientists are assessing all of that data all the time to be able to try to improve the algorithms. We work with, we do have hospitals and health systems who are home health, who are more rural areas, who are, so we have some of those customers and they're going to be able to help us through their data, right, to be able to become more intelligent about it. But I wouldn't say that we or anyone else are where we need to be. From that perspective, I mean, so I'm not claiming that, but you know, you started with AI. I would also say that many people in the industry are talking about AI and machine learning. And I would say that there's many people who still have a long way to go in terms of true AI and machine learning.
It's a lot of rules engines.
It is. And you've got to get there first yeah. before you can populate it with all the data to drive that equity.
Yep.
And I'd say the fact that this company 6 years ago was built on data science gives us a great foundation to be able to take all of that data as an input and drive that over time.
And try to screen out any of the confounding factors that may not be true indicators.
Exactly.
Okay. So you mentioned that you are also in charge of helping develop the strategy and the partnership program with Bioformis. So could you tell me, when you're looking to either work with clients as partners or other vendors as partners, what do you look for as far as a successful partnership? And I'd like to hear about both of those categories.
So when we're partnering with hospitals and health systems, for example, right, the people who are using the platform, what we're looking for, I mean, first, we're looking for a way to help, right, with virtual care. So we're not really at the point where we are deselecting as much as we are picking the right partners who are looking at this as a platform. Through the pandemic, and self-admittedly, a lot of hospitals and health systems stood up hospital home programs, RPM programs. It just did it quickly, and they might have picked a vendor for one and a different vendor for another, or home grew their third area. And what they're realizing now is that they really need a platform. They need fewer partners. Like, this is not new in healthcare, right? You need fewer partners because you can't manage that many vendors, and you need really an ecosystem. And so we're looking for people who recognize that. So we're working with a medical center in the West right now who are going to be standing up hospital at home and remote patient monitoring working in concert together with us. And then they want to look at the specialty care. So for us, that's the sweet spot because patients don't only stay in one of those areas, right? You may be chronically ill and, you know, with our specialty care platform, you end up in the hospital, right? Hopefully we catch a lot of those things, but there are going to be times that you have to end up in a hospital. Now you're in hospital at home potentially. Then you might be on remote patient monitoring, then back into specialty care or chronic care. And so we love the partners who look across that entire continuum or those three parts of it and say, look, we need a solution and a partner who can help with all of those. So that's one. In terms of other people who we can partner with in the industry, we look at, you know, we have the analytics engine. We are always looking at other sensors and other people who create great solutions for continuous input into our analytics engine, because that feeds our analytics engine and only makes it that much more powerful. So that's one. The other is the licensed clinical care teams that we have today are virtual. They're available by text, you know, talk and video. But we know that our partners also need someone who's walking into the home. And so we look at partners who can help in areas where that is not our core strength, but is a natural complement to what we do. And then finally, it's about getting to as many patients. And I truly mean, like, our mission is about predicting disease before it happens. We need as many patients on the platform to be able to do that, right? I go back to, you know, my dad is a heart failure patient, and I need him to not have to sit for 12 hours or 24 hours in a hospital in an ED waiting for a bed, you know, when I can see he looks fine, right? If he could be monitored at home. Mm-hmm. He is in his 70s. I need him at home, yeah. Right? And comfortable. And so that's what personally drives us too, right? Is we want to get more patients on the platform. And if there are partners, and health systems can be our customers, but also our partners that can help us get to a broader population, I mean, that's really what we're trying to do, right? Okay. So we can impact more lives.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great mission, great vision.
Yeah.
So getting into that part, it sounds like that's one of the things that motivates you at work. But what motivated you to get into healthcare and actually start addressing this issue in the first place? I know we were talking earlier about how you were at Hillrom before.
Yep.
So, you know, you've been in the field for a little while. So
I have.
Tell me what first prompted you to really get into it.
It's a great question. So I started my career as a software engineer. And so it was about building things. It was about building technology. And I never thought I would get into healthcare. I mean, early on when I was in college, I thought about it, right? And I wish I had, to be honest, because one of the things, the beauty about working in healthcare is we wake up every day helping people. And that is a gift. And so when I look at nurses and I look at doctors and I look at everybody who works within the four walls of a hospital or outside of it, I honestly believe that they are very fortunate to be able to help people every day. Their jobs are hard, but they get to do that. At the end of the day, working in healthcare, we do too. I get to go home every day, no matter how hard a day was, exciting a day was, and know that hopefully I took a step forward in helping people. So that's why I got into it. Now I get to marry, in healthcare technology, I get to marry my engineering foundation with my communication skills, hopefully, because at the end of the day, I want to go out to hospitals, health system, pharma companies, payers, and say, we can work together to help people. That is what we do. And I have a good technical foundation to be able to take what is and historically has been somewhat daunting, confusing technology, and take it to people who are clinically experts and say, look, I know technology, I know, you know, AI and machine learning, and you know how to take care of patients and improve outcomes. When we come together, that's powerful. And at the end of our hopefully long lives, we've done really good work and we've made some change. So that's what drives me.
Okay. Yeah, I always love asking people in the community that question, because I mean, most of the people I've met through working in this field they're just great people. And it's always nice to see or hear what their motivating drive is that actually got them to like make this, because healthcare is a mess. Like, there's plenty of money in it, but I feel like most people aren't in it for the money.
No.
Even though there is plenty of money to be had, they're in it for the right reasons overall.
I tell people who are getting into healthcare on the business side or technology side, say, be careful, because you'll never leave.
Yeah.
You'll never be able to. There's so many great roles in technology outside of healthcare. But once you have used technology to help people, it's hard to pick anything that then does not do that and do that as your, you know, even to make a living, independent of how much money it makes, right? There is that, especially I feel like I'll age myself, but as we get older, we're looking for something also that we're really giving back. And there's only so many hours in a day. So if you can do that as a core part of what you do every day, and go back to, that's a gift. And so
I don't think that's aging you at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully not, right? We'll see where I am 30 years from now, right? Hopefully even more, doing more of it.
When you're looking for partners, or where the company's at right now, what are you actually looking for from people right now, in the here and now?
Partners in terms of other, I'll call them vendors or organizations we would work with. I think it's natural complements to what we do to build out the solution better. Going back to my example of walking into the home, right? And, you know, there are people who do that really well. That is not where we are today or necessarily where we're going to go. We're also looking for technology partners. There's a lot of technology built into our platform that our customers should never have to see, right? We use solutions for voice video text. We use solutions for storage, right? For data storage. We use solutions for cellular connectivity. There's many others, right, with it to do EMR connectivity. And there's a lot of vendor names in that too, but who can make us even stronger at a couple of things? One, either the analytics themselves, right, being able to predict disease. Number two, the connectivity, right, the communication into our platform to caregivers, to patients. And then number three, all the integration points that makes the job of a physician or a caregiver easier. We have no desire, like most people who know what they're doing in this industry, to throw more data at the caregivers and physicians. So it's about, yes, delivering insight in a way that's easy to understand and appropriate and effective.
And actionable.
And actionable, absolutely, right? Doing it at the right time, right? Not just throwing it at them at any given time, but also doing it in a way that makes them want to use the platform where, you know, it's something that they're proud of because it's enhancing the care they're delivering. So going back to your partner question, we're looking for even the people who are inside, right, our solution and don't need to be, in, you know, visible to our customers, but are still enhancing the solution that we take.
So can you tell me a little bit more? So getting away from just the direct clinical side and getting more into the patient side of things, how much does the patient engagement and the communication, how you're actually engaging, like the modality of communication with them, how does that affect the results that you're seeing? And how does that directly influence the amount of impact that you can have?
Yeah, it's a great question. So there's a few different things that I'll talk about. So one, from the patient engagement perspective, a little bit different engagement, but let me first talk about connectivity. The beauty of our solution is, you know, you've got a continuous monitor on a patient, and then they have a mobile device that they are using, and that's what they're using for their patient application. All of that is prepared, connects automatically. We need to make sure the 90-year-old patient can connect as easily as the person who maybe has a sixth grade education, as easily as the person who's tech savvy. So I think that's important because before we even get to the patient app, if this technology feels like a barrier to them, then we have a problem, right? And so one of the things that we're very proud of is we have high patient compliance scores in terms of using it because it is that easy to use and because we have teams available to talk patients through it, right? Because you shouldn't feel uncomfortable, and we have, you know, teams who are trained, you get that phone call, we're going to walk you through it. We're going to make sure that you feel like you are being monitored and that someone is taking care of you. So that's number one. Number two, the design of the patient application is so important. And ours is beautifully simplistic. It's meant to be, right? You don't need a complex app. They're not seeing alerts. They're not seeing trending. They're not seeing anything like that. What the patient sees is a few things. One, they see their vitals. So why is that important? Because when I put on my continuous monitor and I see my heart rate and respiratory rate and SpO2 changing, I know it's working. And that gives me confidence that I put it on right and that someone can see if there's a problem. So that's number one.
Positive feedback loop.
Absolutely. And so you think, like, do they really know, like, what's a good blood pressure? Or maybe not, but the point is they know that it's tracking, right? It's going somewhere. Number two, the care teams can feed questionnaires to the patient. So let's say the care team sees something in our smart alerts for the heart rate, respiratory rate, or our BioVitals index that feels not quite alarming yet, but concerning. They can push questionnaires that are specific to care paths to that patient. So if I'm a COPD patient, have you been coughing more than normal? Do you have any, you know, phlegm that's coming up? What color is it? It's kind of gross, but these are the things you ask, right? Have you used your nebulizer? That gives that caregiver a little bit more context, but it also shows the patient that this is specific to me, right? And what I'm dealing with. And those questions change.
Okay, so I guess in closing, how can people reach you if they want to find out more?
We'd love to talk to you more about our solutions. Reach out to us, bioformis.com. We have some great content on the website that will help you learn more, and a really simple form you can fill out. And there's a number of us who look at those. We'll absolutely reach out and would love to dive deeper into how we can help with virtual care.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today, Shiza.
And thank you.
Thank you for joining us, community. And we look forward to sharing more content with you from this event.